24-year-old Michael Chabon wrote his first novel, The Mysteries of Pittsburgh, as his master's thesis at the University of California at Irvine. This was just last year. His professor liked it and sent it to his agent in New York. She liked it and sold it. Michael Chabon's first novel has just been published. Book critic John Leonard likes it too.
First of all, I love the title. If you're going to write a first novel about a young man coming of age in what most of us think of as maybe the least romantic of American cities, calling it The Mysteries of Pittsburgh is funny. Second, I love the opening sentence, quote, "At the beginning of the summer, I had lunch with my father, the gangster, who was in town for the weekend to transact some of his vague business." Third, I even love the chapter headings, "The Evil Love Nurse," "Searchlights and Giant Women," "The Beast That Ate Cleveland." And finally, just listen to this passage early on in Michael Chabon's ingratiating novel. "Then my father asked me what my plans were for the summer, and in the flush of some strong emotion or other, I said, 'It's the beginning of the summer, and I'm standing in the lobby of a 1,000-story grand hotel, where a bank of elevators a mile long and an endless row of monkey attendants in gold braid wait to carry me up, 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 through the suites of moguls, of spies, and of starlets, to rush me straight to the Zeppelin mooring at the Art Deco summit, where they keep the huge dirigible of August tied up and bobbing in the high winds. On the way to the shining needle at the top, I will wear a lot of neckties. I will buy 5 or 6 works of genius on 45 RPM, and perhaps too many times I will find myself looking at the snapped spine of a lemon wedge at the bottom of a drink. I anticipate a coming season of dilated time and of women all in disarray." And so we are off with young Art Bechstein on a journey into sexual differentiation the summer after his graduation from college. If what I've quoted sounds to you a lot like F. Scott Fitzgerald, it does so to me too. The great world looked at through a lens of lollipop and rendered as a sort of lyric wound. Art himself is full of the same sort of smarty-pants innocence Amory Blaine was full of in This Side of Paradise. But his tone of voice, talking about himself, has the ironic evasiveness of Nick Carraway in The Great Gatsby. Art is telling us about the wonderful monsters at whose banquet he was a guest, in a land as fabulous as Fitzgerald's Long Island. Instead of a valley of ashes, we visit in Chabon's Pittsburgh the Lost Neighborhood and the Cloud Factory. If Art's father is a gangster, well, really, so was Gatsby. The wonderful monsters Art meets are a girl in the college library, a flower child with the name of Phlox, and Arthur LeCompte, a golden and witty homosexual charmer, and the self-destructive Cleveland, poet, alcoholic, Hell's Angel, and collector for loan sharks. Both Phlox and Arthur are in love with Art. Art, whose confusion about his own sexual identity seems remarkably healthy, will choose Arthur with some Baroque misgivings. For this, unreasonably, Art's wrathful Old Testament father will punish Cleveland with a death that's far too symbolic. Except for Art, these characters aren't quite as interesting as the author wants them to be, although each is a nice idea. But we don't care. We are caught in the snares of language as its own romance, language in love with its own images, bursting to glitter like the jewels in Cleveland's doll when the helicopter comes to shoot him down. The man came to write and does so gloriously.
John Leonard writes about television for New York Magazine and is a columnist for New York Newsday.